always tempted to say happy midsummer time when we're doing the Linkages show, and it is indeed the 2023 Linkages show where Siren Radio's Midweek Drive team are actually reporting from, not live, but actually from day one. So you might well be listening to this on day two as far as Siren Radio listeners are concerned, in which case you've still got a chance to actually see day two, hopefully, at the Linkages show, at the Linkages showground. Cathy Mansour, you've currently been trying to actually download the app for the Linkages show. How's it going?
Well, I have it on my phone, but apparently you can download for the events today, so that way you don't have to use your internet or Wi-Fi, which I appreciate, but I think I just need a little bit of time. So maybe do this before you enter the fairgrounds.
Always very important to actually use the technology of the 21st century for a 21st century country show. We'll hopefully be speaking to some of the fine folk who are here, of course, currently in the press tent. We are the sole occupiers, although we have seen evidence, certainly, of the coffee urn which is there, and indeed at least one other area. I think the BBC are obviously around, clearly wanting to learn once again from Siren Radio how this whole process is actually done. Cathy, this is your second Linkages show. Your expectations there?
Oh, well, just like the first time around, I imagine it's going to be a good show, and I loved it last time, so I can't imagine not loving it now.
Well, as ever, we'll be having our usual audio promenade around the areas, and hopefully we'll give you a flavour, dear listener, of how the 2023 Linkages show is actually developing. Weather-wise, it looks set fair to be fantastically sunny, which probably means it's a case of wear sunscreen as opposed to carrying an umbrella, unless, of course, you use your umbrella to act as a form of sunshade, in which case, carry both. I'd just like to say that this whole series that we're doing is going to be dedicated to Minty Steed, without whom, effectively, I wouldn't be here, and probably neither Siren nor Southside Broadcasting would be. So, Minty, we know you're up there, and this is for you. And the first interviewee of the day is, of course, the legend that is Alan Stennett. How are you, Alan?
I'm legendary, of course. How else would I be? I'm fine, thank you, Alex. And you?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, last year was a little bit... Whoa, we're just out of COVID. How's it going to happen? How's it going to work through from that point of view? We got through that. This year, as we found out from our colleagues at Bramham, you're getting more back into the swing of things. Have you found that with respect to the Linkages show, that actually second year after COVID, things are getting a little bit better?
Undoubtedly, yes. The numbers are up in terms of trade stands and all of that side of things. We get real enthusiasm from the livestock people because they're saying, yes, we can feel this is now... pretty open. You know, in the past, you were a little bit worried. People were thinking, do I really want to be among all those people? But I think it's now we're clear. It's a wonderfully sunny day and we're all very happy.
Yeah, people were saying the same thing, I think, in Downing Street in certain occasions. So I really want to be among all those people, but let's not go there. It's a different line entirely. Cathy, questions for Alan.
Of course. So what are you looking forward to? Well, I mean, you have so many events happening, so I'm sure there are many answers to it. But is there something that you're looking forward to today?
The thing I particularly look forward to always at the show is just meeting people, because for the folk I've known for years in many cases, so I think this is my 42nd or something of kind in a run. So
it makes my 17 pathetic. It just pales into comparison.
Well, that's the way it goes. Keep coming and you'll be all right. You can knock up 40 just as well if you really keep trying.
But yeah.
I think there's all kinds of things. One thing I've been involved in is we have a very nice parade going around in the main ring of 100 years of rural transport. And we have sort of obviously cars and vehicles. We've got a couple of old buses who run in Lincolnshire roads in the past, and all sorts of other vehicles that I think people really get an idea of what Lincolnshire roads might have looked like, you know, 30, 40, 50 or even more years ago.
Living history, but live in the 21st century.
Yes, I think perhaps the fact they're running around a grass ring, it'll be a little bit different, although perhaps the roads 100 years ago were mainly grass. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Well, as ever, the exhibitors have come from far and wide. We know that we spoke to a fabulous soul from Scotland who specialises in Kashmir. He'll be present in the Mews. He was actually at the Bramham horse trials, which was where we connected to him. This is very much something which is keeping Lincolnshire on the map.
It is, yes, it is. We title it The Big Show, and as far as Lincolnshire is concerned, it is the largest event of its kind that happens in the county, so we're very proud of that fact. Yes, your exhibitors are coming from far afield, but of course bear in mind we have a tremendous food culture here in Lincolnshire. You know, strange names, Hastelet and stuffed chine and all those kind of things we're very pleased about, but we also do most other things. We are the biggest agricultural county in the country. We are very proud of all the food we produce here. It's with you know, the basics and the very specialist things. So yes, it's going to be really good and really important for us.
And of course, rare breeds are in abundance. We know we were speaking to a specialist from Norfolk who was keen on his rare breeds, and he was singing the praises of the Lincoln Red, as opposed to, as I frequently said, not the Lincolnshire Red, which, of course, is a breed of cheese.
Absolutely, yes. The Lincoln Red or the Lincolnshire Longwool. Very sad to say, we no longer have it. The Lincolnshire Curly Coat Pig was the native breed for this county, but it no longer exists. There is, of course, a Lincolnshire Buff chicken, and I have no doubt if you find the right corner of the showground, you will find a buff as well.
Cathy, it is your second show. Any further questions or thoughts?
Yeah, so obviously you have a lot of experience and you've met so many different people that are involved in this. What do you think is the common denominator with all these people and the work that they do that keeps them coming back every year?
I don't think there is a common denominator. I think we are something here for everybody in the county. Obviously, we see ourselves as a major agricultural event, but undoubtedly, as far as we talk about shopping, people go down the mall and all the kind of areas. If you just go, I think actually, really, most people come here to meet other people. Folk they haven't seen, again, you mentioned the COVID problems and the rest of it. People didn't get out about. They come here and their mates are here. They've been coming here for years, and then make sure they'll go and have a drink and have a chat and take a look around as well. But I think meeting people is a crucial thing.
Cathy, you've returned from your second visit to Ukraine, of course, since your first Lincolnshire show. I mean, obviously, that's a completely different global experience from that point of view. But, I mean, is this the sort of thing which actually, again, Ukraine needs to get back to some sort of normality, hopefully after the terrible events actually do come to an end?
Well, you know, I just learned when I interviewed someone on my show last week that 70% of the workers in Ukraine are farmers, you know, so they really do understand agriculture, and it's one of the hugest thing that they export. So, yeah, if they get an opportunity to, they would want to definitely be involved because this is where their roots really shine.
I think you're right there because Ukraine, as you say, really important agriculturally. Farmers like to meet farmers, they like to talk to each other, and we hear so much about it. I mean, we've all seen the amazing shots of Ukrainian farmers towing away Russian tanks on occasion, so they've been obviously directly
not an involved. Event that we're seeing in the main ring today, thankfully.
No, perhaps we could have arranged it somehow. I think the army might be a bit upset by that.
Yeah, indeed. Alan, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self and indeed getting global with Cathy from that point of view. Have a fantastic Lincolnshire Show 2023. Doubtless we will connect with you on what will be the show's second day, i.e. tomorrow.
Thanks, Alex. Enjoy your day.
The wondrous sound of sheep, not safely grazing, but obviously set for their appearance at the Lincolnshire Show. Cathy, a brief descriptor for the listener in terms of where we are now.
I mean, there's sheep as far as the eye can see, all ready and, well, some are ready, some are getting ready, some are getting sheared, and here you are. They're plenty. They're eating, they're happy, they're chilling.
Yes, absolutely. Just a reminder that you're listening to Siren Radio on location with the Midreet Drive at the first day of the Lincolnshire Show, even though the likelihood is, unless you downloaded the podcast, you're listening to this on day two in the Midreet Drive morning edition slot on the aforementioned Siren Radio. The tension of the pre-show interview is obviously going to be manifest now because in the sheep area we're delighted to speak to...
It's Catherine Lake.
The Catherine Lake, of course, who is here with a Hampshire Down, I see.
That's right, yes, yeah. We've brought four today.
Now, normally it's a bit like a four-leaf clover. When we have the first interview of the day, they're usually very successful. So no pressure, Catherine, but hopefully this is going to be a winner.
I hope so. I hope that's true. Yes, we've got some really nice sheep here, but then all the other Hampshire Down breeders have brought some lovely sheep as well. So on the day, it's down to the judge, really, what she likes.
Well, this is the critical thing, because we've always asked that question. What do judges actually look for in terms of selecting? I mean, to me, you got a winner here, quite categorically. But then what do I know?
Well, particularly with the Hampshire Down, they're a terminal sire breed, so she should be looking for a really good back end, so what we call, you know, what you would know as a leg of lamb. So they're a really good meat part of your lamb, so she'll be looking for a really good leg, good loin, good skin, so the lambs can survive when they're born. So there's all sorts of things, and no sheep is perfect, so you've got to try and bring the best that you've got.
Cathy, it's time to interview your namesake.
Well, I'm surprised. Well, this sheep that I see right behind you has a personality. I can already tell. How is the preparation for an event like this that it leads up to? How long does it take?
Well, it starts about 3 or 4 weeks in advance. I mean, you're always watching them when they're born. actually these were all born in December, so you're almost watching them from when they're born. So it's just bitten my leg. It's like, get on with it. Yeah. So you're looking for the good, correct lambs at that stage, and then 3 or 4 weeks out from the show, you'll pick your show team, and then they'll be bathed once or twice, and then they're sort of carded. We call it carding up. So they'll fluff up the fleece and shape them, and then pat it all down. You might do that 3 or 4 times, and then there's the dreaded halter training. So you've got to try and get them to be able to walk on a halter, and that can be quite interesting.
I think you're coping admirably. Will you be doing the Great Yorkshire Show?
Not this year, no.
Sadly, we'll also be missing the Great Yorkshire Show this year, but there we are. It just goes to show. Catherine Lake, many thanks indeed. Good luck today. Hopefully we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Thanks very much. We'll see how we get on. Cheers.
Well, we're getting a fight already breaking out at the Lincolnshire Show between who is the top man at Melton Mowbray Market. Gentlemen, calm down. Tom, I believe that you've been put into that in terms of that role. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. And how are you?
We're good. Now, tell us about the Melton Mowbray Market. Why is it more than just a market?
We survive in the town centre of Melton Mowbray. So as well as having the cattle, sheep and pigs, we've got a south side. We've got a brewery, a gin distillery. We've got fresh fruit, fresh vegetables. We've got farm produce. We've got everything.
Again, there's also a pork pie there, I believe, or is that not part of the whole thing at all?
Yes, we've got a very big pork pie industry, not actually on our site, but we do quite a lot with them, and we do have the pork pie festival on site.
I was going to say, it's one of the things which is down our list of things we should be covering. Anyway, Kathy, your thoughts?
Oh, well, why would I go grocery shopping anywhere else when you have everything I could ever imagine? Which one is something that you consume more often out of those items that you just talked about?
To be fair, I'm a Stilton cheese man.
So, wow.
Yeah, I do like a nice piece of Stilton cheese.
Now, you've got a wonderful gazebo here. It's all set up for the 2023 Lincolnshire Show. I was a bit worried yesterday with the weather, but today seems to be absolutely fine for day one. Talk to us about your experiences of past Lincolnshire shows and what you're expecting from 2023.
We've always had a very nice show up here. We get a lot of farmers come out of Lincolnshire and trade with us, so it's our chance to return some hospitality to them. We're in a good position. We're overlooking the showground near the sheep line, so we're happy. It's a lovely show.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a delight sharing some thoughts with your good self. How can people actually find you online if they're thinking of making a visit to Melton Mowbray, or indeed fancy getting some of your fantastic produce?
It's meltonmowbraymarket.co.uk is the website, and we are just on the Nottingham Road as you come out of Melton Mowbray. Nice big sign right behind the fire station.
We are just hearing the tale of true professionalism, Kathy. A tale that I think we should share with many of our undergraduates, and indeed, arguably, many of our Siren Radio colleagues in terms of what it really needs to succeed in the competitive world of show business. What say you?
Oh, I mean, I think everyone should know what it's like to wake up at 3 a.m.
We are speaking, of course, to
Kay Johns from the Event Gallery.
Yeah, the legendary Kay Johns from the Event Gallery, without whom, frankly, our Lincolnshire show coverage would just be worthless, to be honest. I'm saying that quite categorically. It's just essential that you're actually there, Kay. Now, Kay, talk us through that whole thing, because you were at another show, you've come to Lincoln. What's the schedule been so far?
Well, the summer is absolutely mental. We have about a two-month intense area where we literally go from show to show and rarely ever go home. I dread to think how big the grass is at the moment. We came straight from the Malvern show, which was absolutely fantastic. After packing down from that one, we arrived at the Lincolnshire show site at 3:30 in the morning and had to carry on setting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to be able to be open on time.
And you have made it, and you have succeeded, and it's looking as ever absolutely fantastic. Now, we see obviously the Lincolnshire Long Wall, we see so many wonderful aspects of animals and the natural capabilities, etc. And when do you do this on the road, Kay, or is it just a case of, well, when we reach October and autumn, that's when I actually go back to my den and produce some good stuff for next year?
Well, I get 8 months on the road, and then I have the winter, 4 months, where I can just paint so that I'm not interrupted. I just let it flow. You can't be rushed when you're creating a piece of art. It either happens or it doesn't.
I wish the government are listening to those sort of things when they're doing assessments on education, but still, that's another line entirely. We won't go there for obvious reasons. Kathy.
Yeah, I remember last year the art that you showed us. I wanted to know what is the new art that you've developed in the last year from your last winter?
I've done more of my art on the black backgrounds, the pastel work, because I had a hip replacement over Christmas, so I couldn't sit at certain angles. So my pastel work has increased this year, and I've concentrated mostly on some new cattle breeds. So I have a fabulous new Highland bull called Bullseye, which has been going very well. I have a Sussex bull, which I've called the real Duke of Sussex.
Whoa, Harry, are you listening? Just chill out now. Yeah. But helpful hints, if Megan wishes to actually sort of do a special for her latest podcast series, we can carry it on Siren Radio.
And I have a white Galloway, which is very fluffy and very pretty, and I've called that a bit of fluff.
Nice. See what you did there, Kay? I see the witticisms are still very strong from that point of view. Now, the show circuit, I mean, we were saying we were at Bramham a week or so ago, and their official line was, after last year, it was a little bit strange just getting back after COVID, etc. Now things are getting back to a form of normality. Yorkshire show coming up, of course. How's it been for yourself? I mean, are the shows kind of resuming the pre-pandemic drive, or is it still a case that people are still a little bit concerned?
Actually, straight after COVID, the shows, people were so pleased to be out. They were phenomenal. This year, the weather has been a challenge. I mean, the first five shows of the year, we've been knee-deep in mud and being towed in and towed out. The following week, we hit a heat wave. It's been typical British weather, I guess, really.
As I was saying to Kathy on the way home, what would we talk about if it wasn't for the meteorological conditions? Presumably, the eve of the show, you were thinking, let's hope it brightens up, though.
Yeah, setting up was wet. But thank goodness the sun's come out and everybody's looking very happy as they're walking past the marquee, and it looks as beautiful as ever.
We cover these audio postcards clearly for folk who may not be able to get to the shows for a variety of reasons, but how can they reach you online, Kay?
Theeventgallery.co.uk has pretty much everything on the website available. You have to ask for originals because they're not always online.
Okay, it's been awesome as ever connecting with your good self. I think last year we said we'll see you tomorrow, and then we didn't manage to connect with you, so we said we'll see you next year. But we will see you again, no doubt.
Thank you very much.
Maybe hold a brolly there.
The Lincolnshire Smokehouse is where we've landed, an area we haven't actually covered before in our many years of covering the Lincolnshire show. But we are delighted now to be able to speak to
David Beaver.
David, share with us the Lincolnshire Smokehouse barbecue nights. I mean, it looks as though this is the ideal place for a summer or midsummer party.
Any time of year. It's comfort food all the year. It's American barbecue, but Lincolnshire products.
Well, that is one of the reasons why we have Kathy Manso from Miami, Florida, with us today. So, Kathy, over to you.
I feel targeted. I feel seen. I feel loved. What are one of the favorite products of yours that you like indulging in?
We always brisket's the best seller. St. Louis ribs. We've actually done beef short ribs as a special for the show as well. So. I'm winking at you now.
Oh, I felt it. So you prepare it the same way as American style, but
exactly.
You're using Lincolnshire products.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, we have a couple of smokers we imported from Oklahoma in 2015. We smoke away, so everything's smoked, cooked, vacuum sealed, wrapped, shipped out DHL nationwide all the time.
Wow, and I mean, that takes hours to do. That is not like an easy process.
We do all the hard work. All you've got to do is gently reheat at home.
This sounds so ideal. I'm amazed. Now, how about the Lincolnshire show? Presumably you've been here before, obviously. How's it shaping up for this year?
It's the first time we've done a retail store. We've always done catering before. So, looking forward to quite a relaxing couple of days, to be honest. I mean, it'd be nice to sell lots, but yeah. Couple of days in the sun, looking forward to it.
Well, again, you've done extraordinarily well. Now, people who are listening to this thing, you've said our taste buds are going now. How can they actually find you online?
Lincolnshiresmokehouse.co.uk.
The Midweek Drive is well known for its appreciation of good quality chocolate, and indeed, certainly Spencer from Cocoa Runners would endorse that, as we actually head now to the Treat a Chocoholic stand with the original undairy chocolate, Chocoholics Anonymous, and we're speaking to
Chris Chappell.
Chris, first question. Presumably you're hoping for a pleasant day weather-wise, but not a scorching hot day.
Yeah, no, exactly. We went to another festival a few weeks ago, and it was a bit too hot. And people are always willing to try the chocolate, but it's a bit of a... It might melt, do you know what I mean? So it's we want probably about 22, 23 degrees would be perfect.
Now, just as Alice in Wonderland was known for the unbirthday, happy unbirthday to everybody by there who's listening who hasn't got their birthday today, in which case it's a very happy unbirthday today. This is the original Undairy Chocolate Company. Explain, is it as simple as it seems? Literally, there's no dairy product in the chocolate.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So the product is essentially a vegan chocolate, non-dairy and plant-based, whichever terminology you wish to use. And so we wanted to differentiate our product a little bit, though. So we took it on the road to York Chocolate Festival, which is like the region's premier chocolate festival. We sold out in 3 or 4 days. People just couldn't tell the difference. So what we wanted to do was try and differentiate our product. So we came up with the word undairy, which sort of pulls apart from vegan and plant-based, which unfortunately can have a negative stigma at times. It just is the way it is. So we wanted to associate with that sort of creaminess, that richness that you get from a traditional milk chocolate, and that's what we do.
I wanted to ask about the name Chocoholics Anonymous. Where did that come from?
So that was just it was a bit of a brainchild. So one of the things I really missed when I was... So my story is that when I was in my late 20s, I developed an intolerance to dairy, and that's where this all came from. And all of a sudden, my favourite chocolates were suddenly off the menu. And one of the things that I sort of found was that vegan chocolate, plant-based chocolate, it was... Not only did it not taste great normally, but it was quite boring as well. So it was really plain bars. There was maybe a caramel and sea salt or something like that, but there was nothing sort of fun. There weren't much in the way of honeycomb bars and things like that. And I wanted to create something that felt a little bit strange, but also fun and all that stuff. And I thought, well, we could call the bar Chocoholics Anonymous. And then when we were sort of playing around with things, my wife said, I think that's the name of the business. And so that's where it sort of came from. It was originally a bar that we thought it was going to be. And then it just suddenly manifested itself into something else.
Well, I mean, there's also that a bit of a stigma where if you ask someone if they like chocolate and they say no, you're like, I don't know if I can trust you. But in your case, you're like, it's not that I don't like chocolate. I just have to be specific.
Yeah, no, exactly. So we get a lot of people that come up to us and just absolutely love the name. And quite a few people go, oh, I'm a bit of a chocoholic. And I go, well, you're in good company. You know, so it's one of those things. But yeah, no, lots of people comment on the name.
And which is your favorite chocolate that you sell here?
That I sell here. So I'm slightly different to our bestseller is. So our bestseller by a country mile is honeycomb. So it's probably well over a third of what we sell, maybe half of what we sell is our honeycomb. But my favourite's just the chunky nut. So it's almost chewy with nuts, if that makes sense. We make a really chunky bar anyway. That was one thing I also thought was missing. Like I wanted to make a bar not only that tasted great, but like Willy Wonka would be proud of. So it was wrapped in foil and paper and it was quite chunky. And so I thought, I also wanted to make it quite, we call them inclusions, things that you put in them. So I wanted to make it quite inclusion heavy. So it's got like 18%, it's got 6% almonds, 12% hazelnuts, in addition to the nuts already in it. So it feels really, really nutty and I love that.
Well, I would have both for sure. I mean, honeycomb is like an easy one, but like, yeah, a nutty one sounds great.
Smooth and creamy, rich and velvety, fruit and nut, honeycomb and chunky nuts, the top five areas there, which I see if you can get here for the second day of the Lincolnshire Show. Festival offer, of course, 3 bars for a mere £12.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, we'd love to see you.
And if people can't get here, how can they actually reach you online?
So we've got a website that they can go to, which is just www.chocoholics-anonymous.co.uk, or you can find us on Instagram, which is _chocoholics_anonymous_.
The Lincoln Distillery, cask-aged Lincoln Gin, Tyler's Toast, Scampton Gin. It's fun. We have to speak to Matt, I feel, about the Lincoln Gin Company, Lincoln Distillery. What's our you, Kathy?
Oh, we have to, especially since I've purchased many an items here.
There we are. You see, a satisfied customer, Dodo.
Oh, absolutely. The pink gin, my favourite.
Matt, gin, according to Churchill, was what the empire was built on back in the day. How does it feel being part of distilling the spirit of Lincoln?
I feel privileged. Yeah, we were the first distillery in Lincoln for 200 years, the former being a beetroot distillery. So we've added a bit of beetroot to our Lincoln gin as a nod to our city's heritage. And that's exactly what I want to do. I want to build on our heritage, create a legacy, if you like, and promote the county and the city as a whole.
Well, I wanted to ask you, how did it transition from beetroot to gin?
Well, it's just, I did a bit of research as to, you know, I couldn't be the only distillery in Lincoln, and it turned out I wasn't, but I had a bit of a gap between. So yeah, the last one was a beetroot distillery. So I looked at the local area for inspiration for our recipe. I've got licorice root from Licorice Park up on Carline Road. Lots of elderflower from around the commons. A bit of foraging in the beginning. And beetroot, yeah, adds a nice sort of earthy sweetness to the gin and gives it a nice complex balance.
I wanted to ask, what's your favourite part of your job?
This. it's meeting people, talking about our products and our business, and just being in front of people and seeing them enjoy the product face to face. And it's all good being on, you know, social media and doing all the in-house
media interviews, all the things,
and, you know, radio, you know, feeling like a celebrity. But
you are, Matt, you are. I mean, people are saying, you know, we need to get Matt from the Lincoln Distillery featured. I mean, our colleagues at the BBC will probably be sort of saying, where is he? Where is he?
Yeah, where's that gin man gone?
It's particularly the BBC.
Well, food court stall number 18, that's where you are.
Exactly. Matt, we talk about distilling the spirit of Lincoln. A little bit of a tangential question. What for you is the spirit of Lincoln? Is it the yellow belly? Is it the Lincolnshire red? Is it the Lincoln red? Where would you actually see the spirit of Lincoln as being?
I think it's in the people, and it's the passion behind their sort of loyalty to the city and the county. So we are distilling that, if you like, into our product. The football team are distilling into their, you know, we are a product of our own passions. So it could
like the university, which of course Siren Radio is part of.
Exactly. So if you look at any of the local produce, any of the local businesses, the county businesses, they're all banging the drum and flying the flag for Lincolnshire, and I think we can all get behind that.
Matt took that very seriously, because still, as I can reveal, to answer the spirit of Lincoln question, he removed his shades.
Well, I wanted to ask you, which is your favourite? I know it's hard to choose.
Yeah, well, I've got a love for the Lincoln gin, because that's our first. And we don't forget our first, do we? So, but my favourite at the minute is Tyler's Toast, Rosemary and Pear Blossom. I made that over during the pandemic. So rosemary for remembrance and pear blossom for lasting friendship, and raise a toast to our friends and family who we've missed and sadly lost.
Matt, has been awesome connecting with your good self. We may join you again later in the show, but a reminder, if people want to actually access you, is it thelincolndistillery.co.uk they should go to?
It is. You should definitely visit thelincolndistillery.co.uk.
The original Randy's Wing Company Korean sauce. Sweet and sticky with a mild kick of heat. Could almost be a meteorological description of today, Kathy.
Sure, you know, and I mean, you saw the Korean sauce, but I saw the buffalo. And already we got preferences.
Exactly, and we're speaking now to
Emma Whitaker. I'm the co-owner of this company, which we started a couple of years ago, just during lockdown.
Which is great, and again, a success from the COVID time. You see, it was more than just the Downing Street parties that were actually doing things usefully during this particular period. Kathy, questions?
Yes, of course. How did you get into this business? What was your inspiration?
Well, essentially, we started in 2013. My brother started Randy's Wing Bar. And so we are based in London, down in Hackney, and we started the sauce company because everybody loved the sauces that we were putting on our wings. And so during lockdown, like so many businesses that were having to pivot or become quite original in how to make money, so we started bottling our sauces. And so from there, we've sort of grown to being quite successful. We've got, as you mentioned, our Korean sauce. It has got a great taste, 3-star. So we're going from strength to strength. So we're excited about the product.
And Emma, is this your first Lincolnshire show, or have you been here before?
It is our first Lincolnshire show. I've not been here before, very excited. I have to say, the one thing that has stood out, we've done a couple of shows this year, the organisation of this place has been military. It's been so easy to set up. The people here are so friendly. Just nothing's gone wrong. Even the weather is utterly perfect. So loved being here. We've only been here, we set up yesterday. We've only been here a couple of hours, but all things have been so well organized. It's just makes life a lot more easy.
Well, we put in a special request with the meteorological people to actually get the weather sorted out. Kathy, your second Lincolnshire show, my 17th, but any questions for yourself?
Oh, many, but this is my most important question, I think, of today. As an American and here, I need to know, what is your preferred wing, grilled or fried?
I prefer fried wing. I like the crispiness of it.
This is what separates us.
Well, at Randy's, we do both grilled and we do fried. I have to say, though, the fried wings with our buffalo sauce, our signature buffalo sauce, is a very popular dish. So you've got to come over and we'll treat you to a Randy's meal.
I'm running.
Anytime.
It seems as though that special relationship could actually move up a notch or down a notch depending on results.
Well, I'm willing to try both a fried and a grilled wing, don't you worry.
Well, any time, but you're going to have to try our buffalo sauce to make sure it stacks up to the American real buffalo sauce. We went to the Buffalo Wing Festival, where we got a special commendation as the only Brits actually at the Buffalo Wing Fest, which is the biggest wing festival in the world.
It's huge, that's huge. A great accomplishment.
Isn't it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, we took our sauces there a few years ago, and yes, we got a special commendation. We were hoping to win, of course, but we were happy with our special cup, which we got.
You hadn't had the Siren Radio Midweek Drive Maud Edition interview then, so now that hopefully will tip the balance a little bit further in your favour.
We are so hoping. We're going to go back there one day and we're going to sock it to the Americans and show them how a real buffalo is made.
Oh, man, I'd love to see that. But hey, you know, if your work speaks for itself, I think.
Perfect.
It's been awesome connecting with your good self. Just for folk who can't get to the show for whatever reason, Emma, how can they actually find you online?
Just go onto the Randy's Wing Bar website and you can get them online. You can go into Amazon, and we're in a lot of high-end delis as well.
Well, a crucial aspect has occurred because Kathy is taking her first taste test today. Emma, what exactly have you provided Kathy to actually do?
So I have given Kathy one of our buffalo sauces. Now, it always makes us slightly nervous handing a true American a true buffalo sauce, but we are hoping that it's going to stand the test of time. Kathy is going to give it a good try, and she is going to let me know her thoughts. And it is our biggest seller by a country mile. People in this country are loving buffalo sauce. It's trending quite a lot. Even Marks and Spencer's now have buffalo wings on their shelves.
No pressure, but Emma's actually set the bar there. So away we go, Kathy. Let's see how it's going
to
pan out.
To know that I've put a generous amount on the cheese, so we're going to try.
There we are, the cheese has now been taken in, it's been imbibed, the mastication process is taking place. I'm talking filling as we're getting the whole thing through.
Perfect. Honestly, it's the right kind of kick. I don't think I'm sweating, but you know, I like things spicy, so it really just depends on the person. But I can definitely imagine this in a chicken tender pub sub, and I will explain what a pub sub is later.
Emma, success. There we are. What a way to actually start off your first Linkage show. Kathy Mantzo has given you thumbs up.
Thank you so much. I really look forward to seeing loads of people down here later.
We have made our way to the Muse after some initial exciting tastings, and we're at the stand which basically has got Barkworth Reeve upon it, blending practicality and classic country styling. Kathy, you've already been taken by the Dachshund or Sausage Dog pencil cases.
Oh yeah, no, they're my favourite, I can already tell. And they're so cute, and you were just mentioning how they can sit and they can stand.
Yeah, so they've got little animated legs which can move, so you can lay him down on your desk so he doesn't fall over. Or if you want a bit of comedy in a meeting, you can stand him up and you can move his little legs around.
Now, the voice that you're hearing is, of course, the wonderful...
Jenny Parker.
Jenny, that's one of your own personal designs, I gather.
It is, yes. So Bark With Me is my own brand. I design everything here. It's named after my maternal and paternal grandmothers, so it's got a lovely family reference. And, yeah, it's our first show, so excited to be here.
Well, this is great. I thought I hadn't noticed the particular aspect of quality in the Muse before, so we were kind of drawn towards that. Kathy?
Well, I also noticed, like, it's... All the products here are beautiful, but you even have this leather strap that's supposed to be for a ball holder?
Yeah, so I have a miniature Dachshund, who the pencil case is obviously based on, Bertie. And my great frustration is when I was going out walking the dog, I had to carry a tennis ball that was covered in doggy spit.
Poo, which is, that's fine.
Yeah, disgusting.
Or spit, yes.
Yeah. Lovely. Yeah. So basically, it's a little leather pouch that you can pop your doggy tennis ball in so you don't have to carry it. And then the bags have got like a little fitting on the side here that you can attach the ball holder onto so you can skip around.
Jenny, I mean, clearly, if I was a skipping person, which actually I kind of passed on for the last few years, who knows, this could actually reinstitute my passion for skipping.
I hope so.
Oh, I'm already skipping, so not a problem for me. So which of these products is your bestseller?
So the crossbody bag is the bestseller. And that's the one that that I'm pushing hard at the show here. But most of this is new in and due to drop in September. So I'm sort of getting names together for people who are interested. It's all under £200, which I think is pretty amazing for the quality of the leather and the tweed that we've got. So yeah, that's where we're at.
Jenny, it's been awesome sharing with your good self today, your first Ligature show.
Yes.
Clearly the first of many, I'm sure. Will you be heading to any other programmes in the show circuit?
Yes, I'm planning to do lots in the show circuit.
market. Yeah, hopefully.
We will carry on with respect to that. I can see it's going down very well at Bramham, at Burley, at the various horse trials.
Indeed, I was at Bramham the other week doing a bit of a recce.
We could have met each other. We were there.
Oh, were you? Oh, I missed you. Yeah, so I'd like to do Bramham, Burley. I want to do the Country Living Show at Harrogate in December. And then there's a big show at Harewood House in November that I'm going to be at as well.
All good. But I think actually one of the pluses about Bramham is you get obviously to meet Charles from Dubarry, who would show you the way to have a true exhibitor party, which you'll never forget.
I'm sure he does.
Just say, Charles, it's the way forward. Fantastic connecting with yourself. How can people find you online?
So I'm at www.barkwithreeve.com, all one word. And that's also my Instagram handle and my, I haven't got a Pinterest account, but it's Twitter as well, but I don't really go on Twitter. So yeah, Instagram and my website.
Winnie Murphy would have been delighted to hear the words that have just been uttered by one of the exhibitors at Bramham. Of course, our Cashmere Man from Scotland. You just said Bramham was?
Brilliant for us.
We have the fabulous Alan Ball, not from Scotland, but with his Cashmere from Scotland with us now. And we're still sticking with that line, Bramham is brilliant. Kathy.
Well, now that you are here for the first day of the Lincolnshire Show, how's it going these first few hours?
Well, it's steady now because it's only just, 9 o'clock? Yeah. Mm. So I could answer that question probably better at, say, 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Well, we may well come back, as I say, if not today, then certainly tomorrow. But for the benefit of the listener who's listening to this, probably for our breakfast show or our brunch show on Thursdays, and is umming and ahhing about coming to the Lincolnshire Show, that was not a time check Alan was given. Don't panic. We know probably at your time it's probably just after, just around 10 o'clock, so don't worry, we haven't got into a time zone. Although sometimes at Lincoln I do wonder. But Alan Ball and, of course, his fabulous Cashmere from Scotland is at the Lincolnshire Show in the Mews. That's basically the way that where they can find you.
That's right. We always come in the Mews. We've been coming in the Mews now for many years, and I can't see the point in moving because people know where we are.
That makes perfect sense. Kathy?
Well, out of all these products, what are people really looking for when they come to your stall?
When they come to us, they're looking for something different because we have a lot of stuff that's not found on the high street. We have a lot of heavy knitwear, which you only get from the expensive shops, but we have it at affordable prices. So that's why people come to us, I think.
Also, to be fair, I think the quality of the actual product speaks for itself. I mean, we talked about Cashmere in our first interview, and you can still find that online, looking at the Bramham International Horse Trials 2023. And there is this sense that although there are other parts of the world that deal with Cashmere, there's something special about what comes from Scottish beasts.
Well, all the fibre starts in Mongolia, but the Scots have the pick of the bunch. So their Cashmere is probably the best in the world. Some might disagree with that, but we'll leave the customer to choose that one.
Exactly.
But the Cashmere that we supply is a level above the high street you'll find today, because a lot of the stuff in the high street today is not the quality that it was, say, 12 years ago.
Do you get a chance to look around the rest of the Lincolnshire Show whilst you're here? Is it a case of, no, don't be crazy, I've got people flooding to see me, I don't have time to go and see the rest of the show?
I usually have a walk around at night when I've packed up, when there's nobody else about, just to see who's here.
We were just sharing with one of the newbies and one of your neighbours a few doors along about the show party and the legendary Bramham show parties that we sort of pointed the direction of Dubarry, of course, one of the key folk for that. Did you participate in the Bramham show party, or was it a case of no? I just like to chill at night.
No, I didn't participate in any parties.
There you go, you see, sensible. You know, obviously ready to hit the ground running and so on. And where do you head off to after Lincoln?
I have a week off. But then we do during the winter months, or the colder weather, we do town halls. So next week we just do a town hall to fill a week in Stockbridge, Hampshire. We'll be in the high street there in the main town hall from Thursday lunchtime till Saturday night.
Well, of course, the nights will be drawing in after Midsummer's Day, so we need to prepare for those winter nights and winter evenings. Do you have a website?
We do. CapitalCashmere.com.
Alan Ball, no relation to the former World Cup winning footballer of England in 1966. Huge thanks, and keep on keeping on.
Thank you very much for talking to me.
There you go. Keep that ramp sat down, nice and high. Well, Cathy and I have decided to take a few moments of R&R to take our seats in the main ring area. Not literally in the main ring, because if we were in the main ring, we'd currently be ridden over by the Jamie Squibb freestyle setup that's in the background. You might be able to hear the engines roaring away. It's a two-rider freestyle motocross display. Cathy, your thoughts on this?
Well, speak for yourself, Alex. I would not be run over. I would be joining in. Backseat of that dirt bike, jumping up, going through hoops. I'm down for it. But yeah, it's a good show so far. I know it's only going to get better and better if I remember from last year.
They certainly tend to raise the bar more ways than one. We've just seen a person who's actually taken hands and legs off his bars whilst approximately, I think, 15 feet in the air.
Yeah, he really knows he can ride his bike with no handlebars, for sure. And now legs are twisting through, but always landing safely. And we have the perfect seating and viewing to watch them take off.
So this will be followed, of course, by the Shetland Pony Grand National and the Parade of Hounds. I think you're quite a keen fan of the Parade of Hounds, Cathy.
Sorry?
The Parade of Hounds.
Oh, I love the Parade of Hounds. It's a puppy parade. I love the puppy parade. And if you want, they let the... well, this is more for the children, but I join in because I'm a child at heart. You can go and meet the puppies afterwards, or the hounds.
Truly tremendous. Well, you have been listening to... Alex Levchuk and Cathy Mensah for the Madrid Drive Morning Edition live at the Lincolnshire Show, although we appreciate you may be listening to this in a situation in which we're not live, because this will be the Thursday and of course we're here on the Wednesday, but there's still enough time. I would have thought if you fancy coming along to see some of these grand things we've developed, some of the organisers and exhibitors at the Lincolnshire Show 2023. Now, in a few moments, we hopefully will grab a few words with Stuart Barnes, a dog behaviourist extraordinaire. He's currently in deep consultation with, obviously, one of the fine attendees here at the show. This is all part of the Dog and Duck Show at the Lincoln Show 2023. I think it's fair to say this gentleman is from Australia, Cathy.
Yeah, I would definitely say so from my 11 months of living there. He definitely gives me the vibe.
Because there's always that danger about New Zealand, Australia, Australia, New Zealand.
Well, I would even say it's probably more dangerous to confuse someone from Sydney with Melbourne. They don't like it.
Wow. Clearly, Natasha Wanton will need to beware then from that point of view. Anyway, so it goes. Success. Stuart Barnes is here in person. Stuart, great to see you. How are you, sir?
Oh, it's great, and it's so wonderful to be back. It's kind of my local show, and I've been away, as I was just saying, went to visit my mum in New Zealand, and with the pandemic started closing around, they actually kept me there for 3.5 years. So I've had a bit of a break, but it is wonderful to be back.
Well, likewise. I mean, we were saying earlier at Bramham, and we mentioned it several times today, of course, that we've been getting out and about again this year after cost of living crisis, after fuel costs, after lockdown, pandemic, etc. Cathy, of course, you also were in Australia for a time.
I was. I was there for the beginning of the pandemic, and I was stuck there until, I guess, June.
Exactly. Australia and New Zealand, we had very similar rules. And we were probably even a bit more tighter in some places. But Western Australia, I must say, they were kind of the same page as us. And they had very tight borders and very hard to leave. Or if you did leave, you weren't coming back for a very long time. So because of my mum's situation, I decided to say goodbye to the UK for a while. And really pleased to be back now.
Well, we missed you, Stuart. And we were frequently saying, well, if we believe, then hopefully Stuart Barnes will return. He will connect together, and lo and behold, that has become manifest, and we're speaking on a glorious day one of the Lincolnshire Show. Before we move into how things have been going and how the Dog and Duck Show is an exemplary case of how you're working through that together with sheep as well, Cathy, you've raised an interesting point that I wasn't aware of in terms of territoriality and Australians. Can we just share that once again?
I said earlier, I was like, well, I think more, I understand the confusion between a New Zealand accent and Australian accent, but I think what more Australians get offended by if you confuse them from Sydney or Melbourne.
Is this true?
Wow, yeah, now there is always a rivalry. We've got a little bit in my own country, North Island and South Island as well. I mean, we all, I think it's all tongue-in-cheek, but there is a bit of that. I mean, I married a Canadian, and so my wife gets called
it's all American, the boots that, yeah, isn't it, really?
American-Canadian, and they're like, oh my gosh, here we go. So it's all fun and games.
Well, thank heavens the internationalisation of Midweek Drive continues. Anyway, Stuart, Sheep Show, first of all, an absolutely outstanding tour de force, which I think any country show requires as an essence. How's it going and how are the sheep? Did they recognise you after 3 years absence?
Well, I had a few retirees. I've got four new sheep this year, but five of them still, believe it or not, hanged in there for me, waited for me to get back. I think Susie now is probably showing her. She's like 70-year-old, but she's doing well out of more, probably better than anyone. She loves being back on the show circuit, so yeah, doing really well.
Kathy?
Well, we can obviously see that there's already a group of people waiting for the next show and keep asking for you. What do you think keeps them coming back?
Yeah, I don't know really. We try and I think humor.
Joie de vivre and Susie.
Yeah. Well, you know, not trying to let my ego take over. So basically, I think it's. People love to learn, but I think there's a style of learning with a smile on your face and a bit of a chuckle in your belly. And I always try and put a bit of humour with the learning style. And also the sheep are absolute stars. I mean, how often do you see a little dance routine by sheep, which they really, as you can see, they really enjoy. And a little bit of an unveiling. So we've already had loads of kids coming here and learning a lot about the history. But sheep in the UK history is massive, from paying for the whole empire, really. You know, that was back of the sheep. You know, and the church's history with it becoming one of their wealthiest institutions thanks to the sheep in the UK. So it's a huge history, and I think people forgot about it, and it's good to see hear about it again.
And in these politically correct times, it's worth noting that, of course, in terms of history, you know, sheep doesn't have the, shall we say, labels attached to it that cotton and various other things have done.
No, I mean, I don't quite understand why we've turned our back on wool. I mean, it holds 40 to 50% of the carbon. It doesn't release it back in the atmosphere. It only takes 2% of water to process. I mean, you know, people are now using it in wineries for organic wines around their vinery to stop insects and holding moisture in because it's so organic. So I'm hoping it will come back stronger because it's such an environmentally, but also just such a great product.
Stuart, we're going to let you go in a few moments because I know that there are a couple of people who are keen to obviously find out details there, but I see a free VIP club has just been established. Talk to us about this free VIP club.
Exactly. Well, when I was in lockdown, I was still getting huge amounts of emails and people, because with the pandemic, a lot of people went to dogs. They had time and they said, oh, let's get a dog or a puppy. And that did also cause a few issues along the way of understanding what dogs are about. So I come up with a Stuart Barnes dogbehaviorist.com site now, where I have a one-on-one courses online, but I also have a free VIP club, and I've got lots of videos I download about how to walk a dog on the lead and how to stop lead reaction. I just had a dog yesterday I put on there last night where dog was very protective of its food bowl, and actually you could see it attacking me on my and chomping on my boot when I tried to move the food bowl away from it. So these people come to me in desperate states. You know, they love their dog, but this dog yesterday bit a couple of people, and she's feeling like she's absolutely devastated because this dog is just a beautiful dog 99% of the time. But it is very dangerous if you don't get that 100%. So yeah, I put it all on my free VIP. I'm trying to help as many people and get the message out there about us understanding them instead of trying to make them understand us.
Well, from going with that, and not to hold you back from your fans, as you can see, what's the number one tip you would tell people when it comes to adopting or getting a dog?
Yeah, it's about... there's only one language in the universe, and it's called the energy and body language, and animals are really advanced in it. Nature's that's how it communicates in nature. We've lost our way a bit, but when we're very young, we program our young children out of that language onto verbal. But it's about, you know, my philosophy is, we're the most intelligent creatures on earth. Why are we making them understand our language instead of us understanding them? And if we can communicate in a way that they understand, they let go of these jobs. There's no bad dogs, that we've all heard many times, but they've got the wrong job. And a dog, reactive dog on the lead, has been aggressive. It's actually not doing it just to upset the owner. It's doing it because it's has taken on a job to protect its own pack, and it sees energy coming towards it, which could be a threat. So it's understanding why our dogs do these jobs or habits, and how to take them off. And when you set up scenarios and catch the trigger instead of the bullet, that's training. When you're behind your dog's already been triggered. You're not training, you're salvaging a situation. The old saying is, you can't train a horse in a 10-acre paddock. You have to bring it into a round pen to catch the pressure on and pressure off and catch the triggers. And that's exactly the same for the dogs.
Stuart, it's always awesome sharing some thoughts with your good self. We'll speak again very soon, but now for the moment, keep on keeping on. Stuart Barnes, see you very soon.
Thank you very much. Lovely to see you again. Take care.
It's the enthusiasm of the commentator that always impresses me, Cathy. You know, we're hearing in the background that he's very excited with respect to the hounds.
Well, you know, you just need practice when it comes to a microphone. Thankfully, we have that practice.
Well, hopefully. But we're here with a gentleman who's got some amazing fighting hairs, boxing hairs, all sorts of other areas. And your name once again, sir, is?
It's Martin Keeley. I'm from Rutland Willows.
Share with us, Rutland Willows, what's it all about?
So I generally make birds and animals out of willow. I make a metal frame for you to stand it in the ground when you take it home, and then I weave the willow around the outside to generally make an animal in a pose. I start life-size and life-like and then pose them in a quirky, interesting pose so that it looks like you might see it just stopping in your garden or just out in the field where you might come across them.
I'm just really impressed by the range of things that we've actually got here in species. I mean, from ducks to all. I mean, how long does it take you, roughly, for these boxing hares, for instance? Was this a month, 3 months, an hour? How long did you spend?
So it's about 6 to 7 hours for a boxing hare. I'm just making a fox at the moment, and that's about 5 or 6 hours. My pheasants, they're about 3 or 4 hours. So it all depends about the size of the animal and then the density of the weave that I'm going to put onto it.
I think it's become a bit of our theme, Cathy, that we always like to have at least one interview where there's a PA in the background. Momentary quiet, but if it's anything like Bramham, he'll start up again shortly. Meanwhile, your question.
I just wanted to know, is there something that you haven't created yet that you'd like to, but you know it's going to take a lot of time and energy to do so, and why?
So I've seen online there's some dragons and there's some dinosaurs that are out there, but nobody's been brave enough to ask me to make something like that. And it's to try and get that the vastness and then the personality into it as well. So something like that.
Tyrannosaurus Rex or Velociraptor?
I really don't mind. Just anything that's exciting. Just something that's got some purpose and some movement that I can actually get in. So I don't want something that's too slow. But if it's like a Brontosaurus that's sort of big with long bits that could be interesting. Moved, then I can do that.
I'm thinking pterodactyl. That seems good.
So again, I've done birds of prey, so I can surely just do that. It's just a conversion of that. They've got long pointy heads and then they've got the pointy wings, so yeah, that would give some interest across there. So anything like that.
I mean, this is a real attractor in terms of, I've just seen an attendee basically just sort of walk up and touch, because they're always very tactile. You always want to reach out and touch the reel. Is that deliberately put into the kinetic movement you put together here?
I don't think I try and put it in. I just think it's the natural shape of things, the roundness of things. People like to stroke them and just look at them and just, you know, have that feel. The willow makes it very tactile. So it's already in the material and I'm just the benefiter of it.
How did you get into this skill, this practice? What started this journey for you that you've been very successful in?
Marriage. It was my father-in-law's business to start with. I was in the Air Force for 27 years, and when the Air Force didn't want me anymore, then we decided, my wife was already working with her dad, dry stone walling, and so we decided we would take on the business. I had him for 18 months to train me how to do all those things, and we've been running the business for 11 years now.
Rutland is, of course, I think the smallest county in the country, if memory serves. Here we are in Lincolnshire, one of the biggest, not the biggest, because that goes to Yorkshire. How does the Lincolnshire show grow? I mean, is it something which is a vital, absolute must-attend for your good self, or is it a case of, no, we could do it much better in Rutland?
No, well, I was at school in Horncastle, so I've been coming here for 40-odd years, and so, no, I really am pleased to be invited back every year to come and show.
And for people who really are umming and ahhing, they might be listening to this broadcast and thinking, shall we go to the Lincolnshire show, etc. How would you sum up the enthusiasm? I mean, I've been sharing with Cathy, it's her second show, it's my, I think, 17th or 18th, around about that sort of line. You've got an energy, you've got a phenomenon. What is it about the Lincolnshire show for yourself which makes it really a must attend?
It's a huge show. There is so much to see. Just if you've got no interest in the country or no knowledge of the country, just come and see it, because you will see every aspect of it, from my crafting to how you manage an industrial farm and how the machinery is there, and then the people, the animals, and how much effort they put into just keeping us going, because this is what feeds us, really. So it's that, come and see what the countryside can do. It's a huge example of that.
Quite apart from the wonderful crafts as manifested by yourself with Rutland Willow, where can people actually find you online if they can't get to the show?
So we're at www.rutlandwillows.co.uk.
And with the dulcet tones of Robbie Williams in the background there, and let me entertain you, I think we can say that the Lincolnshire Show 2023 has indeed consistently entertained us, and this has just been the first day. Again, as we said, we know you're probably listening to this, unless you've downloaded the podcast earlier, On the second day of the Lincolnshire Show, if you're listening to it via Siren Radio 107.3 FM, of course. Kathy, what have your highlights been of your second Lincolnshire Show?
Oh, man. I mean, we got to see the motocross, which was exciting with tips and tricks. I got to see tiny horses and small, teenagers, I guess, riding and racing each other for victory. I got even the chance to have ice cream. Thank you, Alex, for the ice cream. I mean, it's been just a delightful day and can't wait for what's coming up soon.
The Shetland Pony Grand National, which is what you're alluding to there, is one of the must-see events. Our late great former producer Minty Steed, I think, was involved with the initial inception behind that. But it really is an amazing scenario. It is literally what it says, the Shetland Pony aspect there, as you rightly said, Kathy, with young children pretty much in their early teens, actually riding at breakneck speed, really, across the course, and obviously doing extraordinarily well. One of my favourites of the day, actually. But other than that, I have to say special honourable mentions to connecting with, of course, some of our newbies. I thought that the lady who was responsible for those wonderful sausage-shaped dogs was very good. I loved the barbecue sauce, although I didn't get to taste it myself from that point of view, but I think the proof was very much in the tasting with the cheese. How did you find that?
Proof in the cheese, absolutely delicious, and I'm going to be using that sauce now.
We also covered, of course, gin. We have a variety of other things. And in the background, in case you're wondering, you might have actually heard our interview with Stuart, of course, the sheepman from Australia. He's about to start, so we'll just leave you with a few seconds of Stuart opening up the official sheep show delivered by the dog and duck person. And as we know, Stuart literally was locked away. We'll let him talk for a little while.
Basically, for the new guys, it's a sheep run through portholes, each in the wagon, run on stage unaided. They read their name and stand on the right spot. They can read.
For the benefit of the listener, we can say that the sheep that Stuart is referred to, Lenny, Dougal, Sam, Nobby, of course, Susie, who we spoke of in the interview, Belinda, Martha, and of course, Terry, who are actually there. This is one of those things I think you almost need to see to believe it.
Sorry, I'm very engrossed with the show. What?
You have to see to believe this, really, to actually see the sheep who are going to be emerging in a few moments as they actually work through the process. They're keen, they're ready to go. They're at the sheepshow.co.uk if you want to access them online, of course. But you can also get yourself down to the Lincolnshire Show, and they're very much a fixture of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, this is going to be the first time I'm watching it. He's already giving high fives out. I can't wait for these sheep to come out. I just can't see how I can be disappointed.
And that's a moment where we actually leave you, dear listener. We say thank you for joining us for this little snapshot of audio promenades from the 2023 Lincolnshire Show. We may well have another one coming up in the very near future, but for now, from Kathy Mensah and Alex Leftuke, on behalf of the Midweek Drive, morning edition at least, keep on keeping on, and enjoy your countryside events.
Have a good day. See you later.